Welcome to Red Ice Creations Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren. This is Internet Talk Radio, coming through your speakers or headphones all the way from the west coast of Sweden. Our website is redicecreations.com, and we cover news and research. You can follow along with this radio show every Thursday and Sunday, as we explore many different topics with interesting guests, researchers, and authors. And today we have an interesting guest with us, and she's an author, Susan Joy Rennison. She's the author to Tuning the Diamonds, Electromagnetism, and Spiritual Evolution. Her website that you need to check out is susanrennison.com. That's Susan, R-E-N-N-I-S-O-N, Rennison.com. Also check out her blog up there, some excellent stuff. She covers news also and follows along in many similar topics as we do here on Red Ice, of course. And I just want to read a short paragraph that I found at the top of Susan's blog to kind of set the mood, as it were. It is my belief that the electromagnetic environment of Earth is now very unstable and will get worse. Worst, this is due to the unprecedented activity of the sun and the constant bombardment of cosmic and galactic energy. Our scientists tell us that we have entered into a region of space which is causing the sun to flare, causing numerous changes to life on Earth. I believe we are facing energy-driven evolution, not global warming. And this is a much-needed perspective in these days, as the global warming question is coming more and more into the mainstream. So it's very exciting to have Susan with us today. It's going to be very interesting to dive into further her research and to talk more about her book. So let's say welcome to Susan. Very nice to have you with us, and thank you for coming on and spending some time with us today.
Hello, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Excellent. It's great to have you here. You know, before we kind of dive into talking about your book, Tuning the Diamonds, and the whole, of course, global warming connection in there, I'd love to hear a little bit about you, Susan, your background and kind of how you ended up in the area that you are now in.
Okay. Well, I'm British. I have an honours degree in physics and geophysics. I've had sort of a career in sort of computing, mainly. And then I actually left the UK and actually travelled to Italy, and I lived a sort of compatriot life for, well, 2.5-3 years in Italy, and then I moved to Norway, and I've been living here about 7 years now as well.
Mm.
So I spent a lot of my time studying. I call myself a seeker of the truth. I'm very analytical. I've read books since I was a child, and but I've always had a sort of very strong sort of spiritual side to me as well. So I'm very interested in science. Obviously, I have a science degree, honours degree, that is. And I'm the sort of person that needs to understand what's going on. What actually happened was that in my search for truth, I came across metaphysical sources of information, and I actually felt the need to check this out.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I did it was I actually went to my first ever New Age meeting in October 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually happened was I actually had a very big mystical experience, which was quite overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually met someone as well, the founder of the EMF balancing technique.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually invited me to do some training with her, and I was quite curious, but it took me 1 year to go. Since that time, I've actually done more training. I'm now a teacher, and I was actually asked to write a chapter in Peggy DeBro's book,
mm-hmm.
Her next book. And I sort of thought about it for a while, and then I made a decision to actually write my own book.
Mm.
The reason for that was I felt I had to have some kind of independence. I felt I needed to look at this whole understanding of our electromagnetic nature, but then I also wanted to actually integrate that information with what was actually happening in the world.
Mm.
I've been doing so much research, reading books and researching, I actually felt that I needed to put together my own understanding of what was going on, so that's what I did.
Mm.
I started researching the book. I came across information about the electromagnetic universe, and then I started to have a completely new understanding of my reality. And so out of that, I made major decisions about producing a book and publishing myself, and that's how I'm at this point now. I'm actually basically taking my message out to the world.
Interesting. I read about your, I don't know if you want to talk about that at all, but I read about your experience. I think it was at the Cryon seminar. Is this the kind of, is this a mystical experience that you're referring to?
Yes, I had a Kundalini awakening. And as I say, I've been searching for truth. And I think I possibly might have read about it, but I didn't actually know what had happened to me. What actually happened was that at this seminar, there was a group of, say, 400 people, and they started this weekend seminar by actually raising energies up from the earth.
Mm.
And so I put, I just thought, oh, well, this is harmless. So I actually started, obviously, following everybody else, and we were instructed to pick these energies up from the earth and imagine different colors of different energies. And I thought, oh, this is quite innocent. And that we did that for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then the next person came along, and they did the same thing. What actually happened was that I literally, my back burst into flames.
Hmm.
I was literally on fire.
Oops.
And I thought, what's happening here? Because it was like flames in my back.
Hmm.
And I'm looking around the room, and I'm thinking, well, no one else is experiencing this. What's going on? And I was just. Well, I was overwhelmed by it.
Of course, yeah.
Cut a long story short, I couldn't really talk to anybody about this. I did mention it to one person, and she actually said to me, Kundalini, but then she didn't help me, and I thought, okay, then, well, I'll just keep quiet. And what happened was after that, I started researching this, buying books on Kundalini, and to actually find out what had happened, and I actually believe that I'd actually made a connection, a strong connection to the earth, and literally the energies came up so quickly that it created this this experience. And in fact, when you look at many mystical traditions, the whole idea of a lot of meditation and spiritual practices is to awaken this energy. The Kundalini is held at the base of the spine, and it's an energy that you can awaken, and as it goes up the spine into the head, it can create enlightenment. I actually believe, in a more technical way, what's actually happening is that you are, when the energies go into the head and out to the crown center, you are actually giving yourself the opportunity to rewire the brain. The energies can actually be used to actually help to rewire the brain, and I believe that that is part of the enlightenment experience. Do you have any more questions on that?
Absolutely. Well, this is open up very many interesting areas. Do you think that this was a connection with the earth itself, or some kind of communication, or is this something else?
Well, I believe that. I talk about this in my book as well. This is very important. You know, we are living beings, and the earth is a living being, and we have a relationship with the earth. And in the metaphysical literature, especially in Eastern philosophy, there has always been this knowledge that you can connect to cosmic forces and to earth forces. And I feel that because of my Christian background, I was cut off from the earth, from the energies from the earth. And I actually talk about it in my book, actually, and some people might think this is a bit flippant, but I just felt it was important to explain to people where I'd come from, my experience. I'm not just an analytical thinker. I'm not just a sort of scientifically orientated person. I'm both. And I feel that I was sent to Sunday school when I was about 5 years old, and in Sunday school I learnt that hell was down there in the centre of the earth. And I feel that somehow that teaching affected my view of the earth.
Oh yeah, of course.
And I felt it cut me off from the earth.
Yeah.
And so doing this exercises where we were taught to pick up energies from the earth, and having this mystical experience for me was absolutely profound. But what I will tell you as well is that a month later, after this event, we had the Shaolin monks came to Stavanger.
Mm-hmm.
And this was amazing. I mean, these guys are just, these guys were amazing. But one of them specialized in this task where he had a needle.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was going to do was to throw this needle through a pane of glass. And he got members of the audience to examine the needle, and people actually looked at the pane of glass, how thick it was.
Mm.
And he literally threw the needle. It took him 5 attempts, but when the needle went through the glass, the hole was the size of your small finger.
Hmm.
Okay, and it was just a normal needle. Okay?
Jeez.
But what amazed me is before he did this exercise, he brought up the earth energies. Exactly as I'd done in this Kwan seminar.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow. It dawned on me that people have known about these energies and have been able to use it. I mean, that's what Tai Chi is, all this Kung Fu and all these types of Oriental arts. There, you're actually working with these energies.
Hmm.
You know?
Amazing.
And so I was just amazed because I literally saw the guy breathing, bringing his hands up, bringing his earth energies up.
Mm.
And then he used the power to put the needle through the glass.
Hmm.
And so I was like shocked. I thought, my goodness, there's something in this. There's something that I didn't understand before.
Yeah, indeed.
What are these energies that people are working with?
Hmm.
And that really set me on a different road. I mean, I really started to understand that there was forces, there were energies that people know about, but it's generally not taught. Only in certain quarters is this kind of information actually given out.
Mm, yeah, and when researching the Earth, or even then, I guess the inner Earth, you didn't find hell. I guess you find something completely different,
completely
right?
Completely different.
Yeah.
Exactly. Completely different. I mean, and I talk about this in the book because I felt I had to sort of give a comprehensive. Comprehensive story of what was going on. Everything had to make sense.
Mm.
The things that I was reading in books, channeled messages, everything had to make sense. And so that's why I worked very, very hard on the research in my book. And I was just amazed that I could interpret information based on what our scientists are telling us.
Mm.
You know, I'm not sort of making up the research. I'm actually going out, finding the research and putting the science with the metaphysics, and that's
yeah.
what the book is aiming to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And we could as I said, there's so much information in your book, and your work encompasses a lot of different areas, and there's lots of avenues to go down. But maybe we can begin to talk about the global warming connection a bit in these times, as this issue, I guess, is being hammered into people now, and we have this basically global warming hype on our hands, and it's popularized, you know, by people like Al Gore and so forth, and it's becoming more and more mainstream by the day. So, I mean, according to your own findings then, Susan, what the heck is going on?
I believe that we are actually now experiencing a transformation of our solar system and of our planet Earth. And I believe that this has been prophesied before. Maybe we didn't quite understand how this was going to play out. But in my research, I start off by talking about the fact that we are getting deliveries of energies via the sun and from cosmic and galactic sources. In 1989, we had an absolutely massive geomagnetic storm. This is the first time that our scientists realized that that our power supply on planet Earth could be affected by the sun.
Yeah.
And we had this huge, there was 195 solar flares, 11 of them the most classified, what they call the X rating on these solar flares.
Yeah, yeah.
We had auroras that were seen in parts of the world that had never seen auroras before. And then since this time, the activity of the sun has just increased and increased.
Yeah.
And even at times of solar minimum, scientists are now very wary of the sun. And there are an armada of spacecraft out there watching the sun.
Yeah.
They're literally just parked up in space, monitoring the behavior of the sun.
Hmm.
And what I've said is that we're actually seeing fulfillment of Mayan prophecy. I believe that they said that the New Age, which will start officially in 2012, they say the New Age will be dominated by space. Mm. And now we have this phenomena of space weather.
Yeah.
Literally, this constant bombardment of, you know, cosmic energy, galactic energy, cosmic rays, the sun. This is space weather. And it's affecting, and it's actually, I believe it's actually driving evolutionary change. And so to explain this, I have to explain plasma physics. The book is, I have to teach, because we're not being taught this through the mainstream. So I have to go and find the alternative theories that explain how this works.
Yeah.
And so I basically provide enough information to explain why I believe the things that I believe, why I can teach the things that I'm teaching. And so I teach the fact that space is not empty. It's actually full of plasma. The sun is a huge ball of plasma. Our scientists say that there's actually a network out in space, and it's basically like an electricity grid. And the particles are actually moving through these grids. In fact, we actually have scientific reports that talks about tubes of light. There's a whole network. And so what I'm telling people is that there is a massive change in the electrical environment of our solar system.
And
there's many, many things happening. And I believe that this time of change has been prophesied. And so I explain it step by step in my book, because there's a lot of concepts, there's a lot of things happening. And I think hopefully the book will actually explain to people why we're seeing so many odd things happening now. Okay, so I have to teach the fact that, especially the Russians, they don't believe, they have alternative theories for where tornadoes come from, where hurricanes come from, what drives our weather. And obviously now our scientists are seeing the connection between what goes on the sun and what's actually happening with our weather.
Indeed, and you know, there's absolutely.
So you have to, the book has to basically start to change the paradigm of our understanding.
You know, one thing that comes to mind is we had a while back, we had Donald E. Scott on the show talking about his book, The Electric Sky, and he goes into...
Oh, you had Donald Scott on the show, did you?
Yeah, indeed, and he talks about...
Wonderful!
Yeah, absolutely. Talks about the whole electrical universe theory, basically. And I guess this, then, is something that you incorporate a lot in your work, right?
I had to, yes, and because, quite frankly, I believe that it helps to explain so much of what we're seeing. And yes, I actually quote from Professor Don Scott, and I actually give them thanks at the beginning of my book for their understanding of the electric universe, because it helped me to interpret the metaphysical messages that we were also being given at this time as well about what's actually happening. So yes, I actually explain as much as I needed to, because obviously Professor Don Scott is an expert, and I just need to I need to provide enough information to explain why I was saying that there was changes taking place in our solar system. I felt I just needed to provide enough information.
Yeah, and it feels in a way like the mainstream is capable of you know, reporting on these issues as they come become known, such as you know, even though they're at the moment not being brought forward with great attention in the mainstream, but nonetheless there are reports, for example, from NASA and from you know, the European Space Agency and stuff like this, that there actually is an seems to be a lot of, you know, energy coming into the universe, into our solar system, I mean, and also, of course, that the consequence of this is not only global warming, you know, on our own planet, but on many different planets in our, throughout the entire solar system, right?
That's correct, actually, and this is actually very interesting, because this is now going into the mainstream, understanding that I feel there is a resistance with people with this global warming, and for many good reasons for that as well. And so people are citing the evidence, and I did the same thing in my book as well, is to talk about the difference planets, what was going on. The fact, you know, that there's been massive changes in atmospheric changes on planets like Venus and other planets as well. You know, Mars. I mean, they sent an actual probe to Mars, and it was actually destroyed because the atmospheric density had actually doubled since the probe had been there before.
Yeah.
So it's very important, I think, for people to actually understand that there is data that that actually details this, and to actually tell people where to go to look, actually find the information. What I did in my book was very briefly, you know, gave the main points of the changes, and then the people that have actually done the work, done the research. And in my book, I have hundreds and hundreds of references. My book is a study guide, and the idea is for people not just to believe what I say, but to be able to go and check out what I'm saying as well, because. There's so much happening, and to be able to integrate this, you have to actually do some work.
Indeed, absolutely, of course. You know, do you know where the energy comes from then? Because if let's say like this before we go there, is the energy only coming from our sun, or is this a galactic or even universal phenomenon?
I believe it's coming from the galactic center.
That's what
I believe. And,
all right.
I also feel that what we've been told is that we're actually now in a different region of space. As our solar system travels through the galactic arms, we're actually through the galaxy, we've actually come to a point. It's like a crossroads, and at this point, the energies travel much faster from the galactic center. It's almost like a spoke on a wheel. And I actually believe, it's not actually mentioned in my book, I'm going to update the book, but I actually feel that we have research that clarifies this, that not all the planets are moving in the same directions. They're not all moving around the galactic center. Some of the planets and stars are actually moving inwards towards the galactic center. And I believe that this knowledge has been kept in sort of esoteric traditions, and they talk about the solar cross, the galactic cross, and I actually believe we are at this point. And the fact that this information was held and retained means that it's actually quite an important time that we're actually living in now.
Indeed, I can think back just a few days ago, we had another report stating that the peak of the next solar cycle is going to be around the time that you actually mentioned now, with the end of the Mayan calendar. Around there is speculation, of course, but around 2011, 2012, up to 2013, something like that. So,
apparently the start of the next solar cycle has been delayed. It's up to 1 year late.
Yeah.
And now they say end of 2011, mid 2012. Which is really interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And also, NASA have been predicting that we're going to get a much greater activity from the sun. They're predicting 30 to 50% more active. And because we live in such a technological world now, we have a lot of satellite communications, we have GPS. They are actually quite concerned about what's going to actually happen. So there has been warnings being sent out of concern for what's going to happen at the peak of the next solar cycle.
Indeed. And if we are to talk about that a little bit, do you think that the sun, because as you say, the myth or the legend is, you know, that we're going from the fourth sun, I think, into the fifth. And do you think that this is a renewal process of the sun, or is it only going to, you know, change its polarity? Any ideas about this? What actually is going to happen with the sun?
I feel that we're actually moving into a new time, and that it's a time of cleansing, renewal. I think it's a change. I actually feel that it could have gone either way, actually, to be honest. I feel that it's time now where the energies will actually affect our evolution. And so this will be, I see it as an upgrade of all life on Earth, and also for human life as well. I also think that it possibly could have gone the other way, and that we could have had massive catastrophes and disaster on this planet as well. But I think that we will see change, and it will look pretty chaotic. But I feel that the outcome of this will be an evolutionary upgrade. It will be progress. I think that what I actually feel, to be honest, is that we've had teaching come through, but it hasn't really gone out as wide as it should have done.
Mm.
And these evolutionary energies have been coming, and they have not been taken up by humans. I feel that, as I've interpreted metaphysical channeled messages and things like that, I feel that we were supposed to take on these evolutionary energies, and we haven't done that.
Hmm.
And people haven't really understood what they were supposed to do. And so I feel that even though the electromagnetic grids of the Earth have been changed, they're not fully prepared for huge blasts of energy, which is what we're going to get. And so I think we are going to see some chaos.
Do you mean chaos as a, you know, geological upheaval, or chaos in people's lives personally?
I do. I see it as we're already seeing an increase of the earthquakes and also the volcanoes. I feel that we've had crop circle warnings, the crop circles, of, especially last year. There were certain messages that which implied that we were going to be getting huge blasts of energy.
Hmm.
And also the first one in the UK this year, that seemed to continue the theme. And I feel that I've interpreted some of the messages that we've had. I feel that 2007 is going to be a dramatic increase in these evolutionary energies, and we're not really ready for it.
Hmm.
That's my honest opinion. Mm. We're not really ready.
Very interesting.
And so I felt tremendous urgency to explain to people what was happening. I see this as, I interpret this from studies that have been done about evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that energetic systems actually capture energy, and they use that energy to develop themselves. And I believe that's actually what's happening with the Earth, that as the Earth is being bombarded with energy, it's using it to transform.
Hmm.
And I feel that everything on this planet is now in a process of transformation, including humans.
Interesting that you say crop circles also, very interesting, you know, phenomena, as it were. What do and any ideas of how these actually are created, these patterns? Then I mean, is it something external coming in, an energy that make these patterns, you think?
Are you talking about the crop circles now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, in my research, I'm very sort of analytical. I mean, if someone shows me a video of something,
mm-hmm.
and I can make sense of the video, I tend to go with what I see.
Absolutely.
And we have videos taken of balls of light, these orbs,
yep.
literally making the crop circles.
Indeed, yeah.
Now, in my book, what I've done is I found information about, from various reports, about these orbs, these huge balls of light that have been seen in our atmosphere. I explain where they come from and the function that they've had, I believe, in working with the Earth. But I also, I don't talk about crop circles in my book at all, but I do mention it on my website.
Yeah.
I feel that there is other forms of life, and I do believe that we have official government recognition of this now, that there are independent energies, and they can form these balls of light, and you can detect them in the ultraviolet.
Yeah.
Ultraviolet satellites can detect them. And they have their own consciousness, and I've called them the Earth Management Team. The Russians have told us that just hundreds of thousands of these balls of light have been working on our electromagnetic grid of the Earth, literally changing it. And I feel that what happened, what we've been told in the channeling anyway, what's actually happened, was that the Earth has had to be changed, and the way you do it is you change the electromagnetic field, and then the physical changes afterwards. And so what's happened is that the electromagnetic grid of the Earth has been changed. The idea being is that when the energy comes from the galactic center, we can cope.
So this is about an adaptation to higher energy, or more energy coming in, right?
I talk about an upgrade.
An upgrade.
I'm very strange in the way that I think. I'm a very sort of analytical thinker, but I see this as an upgrade of all life on this planet. And to do that, certain things had to be done, and we were told that this would take 12 years. Hmm. And so I was utterly amazed to find a Russian report talking about this, saying, you know what, we've seen these balls of light working, you know, changing the electromagnetic grid of the Earth, and yet we've had channeled messages telling us exactly the same thing.
Hmm.
For me, this was a scientific confirmation of what we've been told.
Interesting, yeah.
And, but I actually feel that, I mean, I feel this message is absolutely huge. I mean, to me, I felt I had to go out to, and explain to people, using language that people can understand, as to what's going on. So I feel that this energy, we're told, it's the Russians say that sometimes they look like meteorites, but they're not meteorites. They're just plasma. They fall into our atmosphere. There's many reports you can find that talk about this. And we're also told from the metaphysical literature that they can split up into smaller balls of light. They travel together, and then they can split up. You've got your Martin Stubb stuff. You've got the NASA secret transmissions as well, which talks, you know, you can see there's these balls of light floating around in space.
And
there's plenty of documentation if people are interested in this.
Absolutely. That's a fascinating area. Do you connect much of this with the, you know, with the more common, I guess, UFO phenomena?
Yes, I do. I feel that we're told there's two types of UFOs. I feel that there is life out there, various, you know, entities. I mean, we're told there's billions of galaxies, and I'm sorry, but we're not alone. There's life out there, and
I have a
very unusual view of what's actually happening at the moment. I believe that what's happening on this planet is very unusual, and I feel that the massive UFO presence on this planet is because they are so interested in what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is sightings after sightings after sightings of UFOs. It's got to the stage now where the governments have got fed up. I think, is it Colombia, Russia, France, and now Great Britain are opening up their UFO files.
Yeah.
I mean, this is incredible. There was last week, there was a pilot plus many of the passengers on the plane that actually saw two UFOs.
Yeah.
They estimated that they were about a mile wide. I mean, and then, you know, there's just so much of it. But my understanding of this is that they're not here to invade. They're here to watch. But they're very curious about what's happening on this planet.
Of course.
And I think that's the only way you can interpret what's going on. Now, you know, you have these people that say, you know, there's a few people being kidnapped and stuff like that. Yeah, maybe. But that's not the point. The point is that they're curious about this massive upgrade of this planet, this evolutionary upgrade, and they're here to watch.
Yeah, that's good news to me, at least, you know, that there's things going on and things happening.
How else can you interpret, you know, the fact that there are so many people, countries all around the world? We even have a Canadian he was an ex-defense minister, coming out and saying that maybe we can use alien technology to save the world from global warming. And I'm thinking, what alien technology?
Of course, yeah.
I mean, you know, if you know where to go to find information, you know, it's well understood.
Of course,
that there is a presence on this planet.
Yeah, exactly. I guess you have heard of the Disclosure Project, of course.
Heard about that as well.
There you go. There's another, you know, smoking gun, as it were, to, I mean, a lot of, you know, different people, prominent, you know, military, ex-military people and stuff like this, going out and telling their about their stories in front of a camera, basically, you know. And there's you know, incredible stories there, basically, what's going on.
I think my interpretation of events is different, because what I'm saying is that yes, there is a vast presence of two types of UFOs. I believe there's natural. The plasma entities are a natural phenomena, and then I think you have the artificial kind. You have beings from other worlds, other planets. I feel that they're here as well, and I do think that the vast majority have actually have our interests at heart. I'm not saying all of them do, but I feel that there is tremendous interest in what's happening on this planet.
Yeah, that's good.
I find it interesting, some of the reports you have of fleets of UFOs flying over, is it Mexico City and places like that?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I just feel that there's a reason for why they're doing that. And I think that if things really get bad on this planet, I do think we will actually have some help.
How do you mean get out of hand?
I think with the volcanic activity, earthquakes, because I feel that somehow the understanding of what is taking place on this planet has not gone out into the world. I feel that somehow the message has got lost about this massive change, about this being an evolutionary change. We have a lot of people teaching doom and gloom, disaster. What they should have been teaching is evolutionary change and the process of change, and the fact that I feel that, the way I put it, is the terms and conditions of living on this planet have changed.
That's very interesting. You know,
that's the way I see it.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you say this, it also feels like you're saying that our consciousness is a very huge part of this, then, right?
Yes. I feel what's happened is that, from what I understand, is that we raised our vibration to a level where we can move to the next step. And so in the next step, a lot of the nonsense that's going on this planet will not be tolerated. I'm using very strong language here, I know.
Sure.
And so we have to learn to live in a better way. I do think we have to honor the earth. I'm not an environmentalist in the traditional sense of an environmentalist, because I feel that the environmental movement has been hijacked now.
Yeah.
But I think we need to go back to more sort of the traditional understanding of honoring the earth.
Yeah.
And I feel that the way we do business on this planet will have to change. And I talk about some of the problems that we have with the space weather.
Yeah.
And the effect on our technology means that we're going to have to do things differently on this planet.
Indeed.
But I see this as a global transformation, a move to where we have to live at a high level of consciousness. That's what I believe.
Very interesting. You go into in a segment of your book, or your references a lot, I guess, about the Schumann resonance, and this is also one of the more physical evidence, I guess, as it were, to what actually is happening. And I've been kind of struggling with some of the data behind the Schumann resonance, because a few people say that yes, it is increasing, and another bunch says no, nothing is happening. It has never changed. What's your take on that?
In my research of the book, I interpreted the Mayan serpent rope to be the equatorial electrojet that arrived about 1989. We had this massive blast of energy from the sun, and then after that, they found that there was an electrical current floating around the planet. And it's basically like saying that that there's always been something there, but it's been like a trickle. Now we have this huge electrical current of energy floating around the equator of the sun, and I believe that is the prophesied serpent rope. Okay? That equatorial electrojet is pumping up the frequencies, the Schumann frequencies, that we use to balance our brain. So what I'm saying is that there's not really much change in the actual frequencies. There's some changes in the frequencies, and this is from the scientific literature, and everything I say, I can support what I'm saying. So there's some variation in the Schumann frequencies, but the real difference is the fact that these frequencies are being boosted 3 to 5 times stronger than they were before. Okay, and that is what I discovered in the research.
Yeah.
Okay, and I thought, wow, that's quite something else.
Yeah.
So the way I see it is that you need certain frequencies to balance the brain. There is, scientists believe that there's definitely a link between what's happening, the geomagnetic field of the Earth, and the frequencies of light. They coincide with the frequencies we use to balance our brain.
Yeah.
And I see that that with these stronger frequencies, we will react differently. So it's like having a car with before you had the normal steering mechanism, and you could drive the car. If you turn the car to the left, it would gradually move to the left. If you turn the steering wheel to the right, it would gradually move to the right. Now with these stronger frequencies of light, it's like having power steering. If you slightly turn to the left, it's shooting off to the left. If you slightly turn to the right, you're shooting off into the right. And so what's actually happening now with people is that whereas, you know, they would react in a certain way, that people are overreacting in their behavior because the frequencies of light that they're using to balance their brains are much stronger. And so I explain in my book that we are electromagnetic beings, and that our electromagnetic field is very strongly associated with emotions. And if we are if we have emotional problems or areas, then our connection with the magnetic field of the Earth will affect us. So I talk a lot about what I call geo-madmen. You know, we know for a fact that people are affected by the moon.
Yeah.
I'm saying that in these wild geomagnetic conditions, people who are mentally unstable will become extremely mentally unstable. You know, I feel that in the conditions on the planet now, people will overreact. And so in my blog, I have these few crazy stories where I think people have just completely gone into a state of imbalance.
Lost it completely, huh?
And they completely lose it. And some of the stories are incredible, where people just completely lose it. And obviously, you can then start to think, you know, I mean, after the Virginia Tech shooting, there was one where at NASA, where somebody was given a bad review by their boss, so they came in with a gun one day and shot them.
Sheesh.
You know?
Yeah,
What I feel is with the changes on the planet, these much stronger frequencies of light, what I'm saying for people who are balanced, those frequencies of life of light will be empowering, and that they will help you and they'll be very supportive. What I'm saying is for people who are unbalanced, the conditions on the planet will make them very unstable. And I see this as a carrot and a stick. See this as that we are being pushed to evolve spiritually, and this is how it's being done.
This might sound, I guess, cruel in a way, but is it a screening process going on? You know, is the planet actually getting rid of people here? You know, what's the deal? Because a lot of people, in a way, I guess, then are actually, you know, becoming very, you know, ill of this, actually ending up, you know, dying and taking the lives not only maybe of themselves, but of other people also.
You know, you've asked a really quite an interesting question here. I actually do see this as a type of natural selection. Yes, I do. I feel that we're at a point now where humans are being invited to evolve. And I feel that one of the reasons I did what I've done is because I know what's going to happen. I understand this. People were telling me of visions that they were having, and I'm thinking, well, that's, you know, this message has to go out to explain to people what's going on. I feel that a lot of people will want to move forward, but they have to have it explained to them in a language that they can understand. And so I do see it as a type of natural selection. Yes, I do.
It's interesting, you know, to get that take. I've been, you know, pondering on that myself, and I totally agree with you, you know, in what you're saying, that, you know, you can pick up that there is more tension, and people are, I mean, I can feel it myself in many ways. I mean, a more I have to become more, you know, focused and learn to relax more, to actually, you know, not being drawn into it, as it were. And it's a very, you know, conscious process, and I have to, you know, learn to balance myself, basically. So this is very interesting material, you know.
I see this, that I feel that it's... this is the whole point of why I wrote the book, because I was hearing this and I was interpreting it as to what was going to happen on the planet, especially if the poles move dramatically and the conditions on the planet really get extreme.
Yeah.
And I felt that it was really important to explain to people this whole concept of balance. And you can see it's coming through. You know, you can buy... whole range of sportswear now called New Balance. You can buy balance bars, you can buy balance makeup, you can buy... I feel that it's coming through, but we've really... there's a real need to explain to people in a sort of technical, you know, scientific language exactly what's happening. You know, so that it's not unconscious, it becomes conscious, and people are consciously aware of what's happening on this planet.
Yeah.
And then they can work with it. If they understand what's happening, then I feel that's really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't really like this the fact that some people are aware of what's happening and they don't seem to be making much effort to tell the others. I don't really like that. I'm not that sort of person.
Sure, yeah.
I'm going out of my way. I've written my book to explain step by step what's happening and then what people can do. And what I've done is I've brought information from many different sources to explain why I'm saying what I'm saying, what the evidence is for what I'm saying.
Absolutely. You know, one other area I wanted to ask you about was, you know, and maybe we could go into this a little bit more in the next segment, talking more, I guess, about the, you know, the... Not the symbolism in that manner, but more of the, you know, the structure, as it were, of both the, I guess, the inner earth and the what is above us, above our head, and the connection between, you know, so above, so below, so to speak, and even the you know, we have some wonderful pictures in your book, of course, about galaxies, spiral galaxies connecting with, you know, our own DNA, and that's like a mirror up there, a connection between all of these things, and I think you do that really, really nice. But one thing I did want to squeeze in before we go there is I saw this diagram of I think it's I first saw this by Richard Hoagland, who brought this forth, and I think he refers to it as hyperdimensional physics, and this is the tetrahedron star and stuff like this. Do you go into this a lot in your book?
Well, what I do is I talk about the ether, zero-point energy field. I talk about higher dimensions. And what I felt I needed to do is to go to the experts and to, you know, I talk about string theory and I bring it all together and I explain why these theories are becoming popular. I liked Richard Hoagland's because it's so difficult to actually test these theories.
Mm.
What he's done with actually explaining how it works in our solar system, it's doing it on such a large scale, and that's what's really nice. You can test these theories on a very large scale, like on the planets of our solar system. And I liked his approach. I also talk about Dr. Harold Aspen and his theories of the ether lattice, and it's, for me, it's very important to actually explain people why metaphysical sources are talking about the ether and the changes in the ether.
Mm.
And so what I've done is I put together the existing scientific beliefs, alternative theories like Richard Hoagland's ideas, and I put them together so to make sense of our reality. For me, it's very, very important. And also the idea that these theories are not sort of like recent. I mean, Dr. Harold Aspen, his theory is 50 years old. And now, it's only now that he's getting scientific validation for his theory that's 50 years old. One of the things I like to say is that very often you have scientists that are decades ahead of their peers. And because of the peer review process, these sort of people can be sort of silenced, you know.
Yeah.
If it's not the consensus opinion, then these sort of people can be just swept aside.
Indeed.
Very often, if they're right, the others will catch up maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years later.
Yeah. Do you think that these people are consciously you know, held back for some reason? I mean, this might be in a way pretty sensitive information for the powers that be, you know, in a way, because if this empowers people and if the consequence of all of this is going to be that the entire, you know, planet or power structure even on the planet is going to change, this is something that these guys wouldn't like, I guess, right?
Yes, that's possibly correct, yeah. The way I look at it is I feel that changes are going to happen anyway, and that's my view.
Sure.
But when you look at science and the way that some people have to struggle to actually get their ideas understood, the whole concept of the electric universe, it's so obvious. To me,
yeah.
As doing the research, you're thinking, why astronomers struggling with what they see out in the universe when you have plasma physicists that can actually duplicate these things in the laboratory?
Yeah, yeah.
It's phenomenal.
It's
yeah. Amazing. You think to yourself, why do these theories take so long to be accepted?
Yeah.
When it's so obvious. Because yeah. To me, I like science that you can actually do in the laboratory and test your theories on.
Indeed, yeah.
And then you can, you know, match up what's actually going on out in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you find out things like string theory. String theory is now being seen as a failure, but they ran with it for 30 or 40 years.
That's interesting. Yeah, very, very interesting. You know, I think that that would be a good place to kind of round things off for this segment. We're going to continue our discussion in the subscriber section now. But before we go there, I want to leave the opportunity to you to mention, of course, your website and your blog, of course, and also let people know how they can get your book and the full title and so forth.
Okay. Well, there's actually two websites. There's a website, joyfirepublishing.com. www.joyfirepublishing.com. And that basically has the background to the books. There's lots of wonderful graphics, interesting section on the sun as well. That's quite a large website, and that's really where you'll be able to find details of getting hold of the book as well. And then there's my other website, SusanRennison.com, which is my name as well, which is where I have more of my articles and my blog as well. So there's two websites. That's it, I think.
That's it. Excellent. Yeah, we're going to put up all the links, of course, in relation to this program, so people can find your blog and your publishing website easy, of course. But we're going to continue now in the next segment. So for this segment, let's say thank you, Susan, and we will continue talking.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
We are going to continue our discussion with Susan Joy Rennison in our subscriber section. We are going to begin talking about the disappearing bees, GMO, DNA, junk DNA, morphogenesis, about hair growing on rocks, and get into the more significance of the diamond and the structure of the diamond. So I hope you'll join us in the subscriber section for an interesting continuation with Susan Joy Rennison. If you want to know how to sign up, just click on subscribe from our radio section or on subscribe on the left-hand side menu on our website, redicecreations.com. We have a recurring 3-month subscription option and also a non-recurring 6-month subscription option available. About 5% of all you guys out there who download and listen to the shows we do here subscribe, and we really do need your help and support to survive. So I hope you consider signing up with us. Try it out. It's not a robbery. It's about 12 to 13 US cents a day. This is to keep us going. We're a very small venue and we do need all the help and support we can get. Also, before we round things up, I want to mention two other things. We have opened up our shop with some t-shirt designs. Our logo and some other designs are up there too. Some mugs, bags and stickers and other apparel is also available. This is also a great way to help and support us. And we've just opened a new communication feature that we're going to try out. Since our show isn't done live at this point, you can now interact with us in another way. You can just call our answering machine and leave your question or comment about something. You can ask a upcoming guest or a monthly regular a question. Coherent and good stuff might be played up during the show. So for full instructions and the telephone number that you should call, you need to go to our site, redicecreations.com, click on radio on the left-hand side and scroll down to participate in the show / ask a question. And we have Jake Cutsey from the Brave New World Order.blogspot.com next on the schedule. So if you want to fire away a question to him, you have until Sunday to do that. Also, Michael Tesserion is upcoming next Thursday, so you have about a week to fire away a question to him. All right, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into the program, and thanks to Fredrik Palmgren for the administration work and handling the audio. We will be back on Sunday with Matthew Deluce. This is Henrik Palmgren. Take good care. Adieu.